Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message, folks, is you've been called, and I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians out of chapter 12, and then I'm going to read from John. It's John 5, I believe, but I will get that back to you as soon as I can. It looks like it disappeared off my notes. Must have taken it out of there. And then I'm going to do Jeremiah and Romans as well, but we're going to start out in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, it's John 14, I'm sorry. John 14, 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to do Jeremiah and then Romans. But before we get started, as always, I try to play a song because I like to be able to make sure others have an opportunity, a chance to get here and hear the message. So this morning's song is going to be by Taronda Green, the Hayes family, Down at the Cross. Okay, and I'll get back to you in a few minutes with prayers and requests. If you would, find your place in the chapter of 1 Corinthians and John 14. Thank you. Thank you for coming out, folks. Thank you for being here. Like I said, I have a couple songs. I always play one at the beginning and one at the end. And I will get there with the other one when we're done with the message. But this morning we have some prayer requests that I want to put out there. And I'm not sure. I looked online. I didn't see as many as I thought I would see, which means either the messages weren't seen last night when they were posted. Busy week here. Trying to get things straightened out and help everybody because of winter coming. But, yeah, I have some prayer requests for you here in my notes. Let's see. Let's pray for all those that were dealing with the storms down there and down south, North Carolina, South Carolina, Delaware, wherever along that way, Virginia. They're still putting up with that, folks. They don't have the food, the water that they need. They're getting plenty of it, but it's not able to get to some of the families. But pray. Please pray for all of those that are out there that have gone through that storm. Anna Karazi Pellerin should be traveling back from Connecticut today. Her mom fell and hurt her hip. She fractured her hip, and they were trying to make sure she had nursing care and what have you. Paul and Mary Lund had a bad motorcycle accident last Saturday. It appears, I'm not quite sure of all of what went on because I don't have all the details. Like I said, it was a busy week, and I didn't see anything back from them, but Mary, something to do with her ankles were bad, hurt her ankles real bad, and Paul, I think, broke his legs. So please pray for him for healing. And then we have a bunch of others. We have a friend of mine named Marcia online was diagnosed with cancer, serious cancer, and they weren't giving her a lot of time to live. But thank God, with all the prayers and what have you, God has been able to heal her and pretty much almost get her into remission right now. So it went from stage four down to it looks like it's going into remission again. And I know she's concerned, so please pray for her. Thank you for being here. God bless you, and please pray for me. I damaged my shoulder over the week. I was moving some rocks, and it appears that I might have tore the rotator cuff some. But regardless, I keep going, and I worked yesterday and got through the day, and my shoulder's still all right. It's not hurting as bad as it was on Friday. But thank you again. Thank you, and God bless you for coming out. This morning's message, folks, is one that we need to pray about also. It's about our calling. So I want that as a prayer request, too, that you pray that you are called and that you know you're called because you're hearing the gospel. You know you're called because God has touched your heart ever since before you were born, and we'll go into that as we go through the message. But, Father, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to have people come out and hear the word, to share the gospel, and be able to be there for them, and I hope I can lift them up this morning, Lord. Thank you for all those that we're praying for. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Pray amen. Thank you. Like I said, folks, we're going to start out in John. I was going to go in 1 Corinthians first, but we're going to start out in John, chapter 14. And then we are going to be in Jeremiah at some point at the end of this, verse 1. So I will get back to that part, but let's go to John first, and we'll go from there. Let me see what I can do here about getting everything situated here this morning. Here we go. John 14. I'm going to read from the beginning to, I think I'll probably quit somewhere around, verse 10. But let's look at verse 1 of 14 of John. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and they, the way ye know, this is how you'll know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Verse 8 says, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. See, they were saying, look, you show him to us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou, then show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me, the very works saith. Now, when I decided to read to you out of John, my plan was to read to you John 14, verse 6, which says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you look at verse 26, and this is important as well, because if we read down, if I read the whole chapter to you folks, it would take me almost the whole message, right? And it says here, it says in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Now, if we flip back, it says here, going back into right here in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't leave us with nothing. Everybody thinks, well, Jesus died, we're just down here on the planet waiting for him to come back. Well, you can believe that if you choose to, but I'm going to tell you something. He left us, but he didn't ever left us comfortless. That means somebody is here to comfort us. Who's the somebody? The Holy Spirit. And it tells us that in the Bible. And that's why I said we have to believe the Bible, folks. The Bible's the truth. We have to either believe it or not, okay? Because he said his promise of the Spirit's indwelling. And that's what he's talking about here in John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's verse 14. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth what? With you, and shall be in you. Now, how can anything be in us except for a spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is in us when we learn to read the Bible, when we learn to listen to those that teach the Bible, when we learn to share the gospel, when we learn to live the gospel, then you start realizing that the Spirit of Christ is in you because you no longer want to do the things of your past. You no longer want to live the way you used to. And you know who convicts us of that? The Holy Spirit. And Jesus uses the Holy Spirit in us to teach us right from wrong and teach us that should not be how we live and this is how we should live. And this is what he says. He says, look, he didn't leave us comfortless. And then it says in verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am my Father, and ye in me, I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And manifest, my folks, this is what it means. It means that he will make himself clear to you. That's how we know when we're doing something wrong and we realize it and we say, well, this isn't the way we should be living because we're supposed to be Christians. We should be better. That's the Holy Spirit, and that's Christ manifesting himself in you to teach you the right way. Now, let's go over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I'm fumbling with my pages here, but I'll get there. Okay. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, he doesn't want you to not know about your spiritual gifts. He doesn't want you to be foolish and not know they exist. He's saying to you, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know that you have those gifts. Ye know that ye were Gentiles. You know what Gentiles were? Says here, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Aren't we all? Don't we all somehow serve the world? And those are idols, because God says, right in the scriptures, it says, who you serve is your master. And your master would be who you idol the most. Do you idol this world, the things of this world, meaning how you look, how you dress, how you feel, what you own, your possessions, your job, your status, all that stuff? Or do you idol Jesus Christ in the fact that you go, look, I would rather be humble and not have all that, but that I would love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, spirit within me that teaches me to serve and to love Christ. Now, I wrote in my notes in 1 Corinthians, okay, so now having shared these scriptures, and I'm going to do this when I go through the rest, I hope you understand, nothing else can draw you to God but God himself. And that's why I wanted to read this to you, because he says, concerning your spiritual growth, and it concerning your spiritual gifts. Now, ye know, this is verse 2, ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. That means we don't curse Jesus. That means we don't use Jesus' name in vain. That doesn't mean, you know, that we don't get upset or say things, but we don't go around using Jesus Christ when we're aggravated. We don't use it, throwing it out there like some slip of the tongue in vulgarity because something went wrong in our life. Because Christians don't do that. They stop doing that. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. See, if you say that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Holy Spirit's already the one saying that. He's telling you that in your heart. He's telling you that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is Lord over what? Over the whole earth. That means he's in charge of everything over this whole earth. In verse 4 it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, this is the manifestation, again, the clarity of Christ, of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. You see, our profit, our gain should be with Jesus Christ. For to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm not quite sure, I don't get into this, but I know that tongues was done away with. This, the tongues that we hear today, the babbling, you ask a person when they're babbling in tongues, that gift that they claim they have, ask them who they're speaking to. They'll tell you they're speaking to God, right? Now, the Bible tells us we can't get to God because we're filthy, rotten sinners. The only way we can get to God is we talk to Jesus, and the voice that we have, he hears us, he takes it. Jesus takes that tongue of ours, our confused prayer requests, because our prayer requests are not exactly in the will of God almost always. Not everyone sits around praying, Jesus, save my soul. Not everyone sits around saying, if you're the God of gods, then please fix my life. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus knows your heart. Jesus has the gift to know the difference between what tongues is and what you're saying to God. To me, that's what tongues means. In this world, they want to babble this hemanaha, and they talk all these spiritual talks, they say, but who's the interpreter of what they're saying? Because the Bible says there's two differences, one and the other, right? But my purpose of all that I brought this up for was so that you can know that you're led by the Holy Spirit. Many people that claim they talk in tongues aren't led by a spirit. They're led by something that was taught to them. Someone, they said, I don't understand. I don't get it. I met somebody down in Connecticut a while ago. In fact, I won't go into the names, but I was told that in their church they talk in tongues, and all these people talk to the Lord in tongues in the church. Well, the Bible says that's confusing. One does that, not all do that. One does it, somebody interprets it. Not everybody in the congregation is talking in tongues at the same time, because that would be like a bunch of screaming kids asking for ice cream and candy at a birthday party. It would drive the person crazy, and we would see it as exactly that. But my point of saying that this, you are led by the Spirit in your gifts. I have a gift to help. I have a gift where this is what I consider my missionary. I'm always doing for somebody, or always doing what God asked me to do, including sharing the gospel. And if you're a witness of Jesus Christ, you want to share the gospel. If you're a lover of the Lord and you really love him and you're not rejecting him, then you'll do those things. In verse 9, it says this, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You have a gift. Use it wisely. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. This means Jesus is a light in the dark world, guiding us through the use of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in us, teaching us what is right, not what someone else is teaching us, not what I teach, not what man teaches, what the Bible teaches. You read your Bible, the Holy Spirit will guide you. I've said that to you 100 times if I've said it once. In all the years that I've been sharing the gospel, the last 7 years or so, I've been telling people, don't take my word for it. Read your Bible. Let the Holy Spirit work in you versus what you think you're hearing from me. And we cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ. We know that. Nothing we do, say, or pay for can get us there or buy our way to heaven. No good deed. None of what I do for helping others is going to buy me a seat in heaven. That's just me doing the right thing to help someone. As what I consider missionary work, what I consider being able to help someone and at the same time when the time arises, share the gospel of Christ with them. No good deed, no following of 10 commandments, nothing, because Christ died for us, Otherwise, if there is no Christ, we're doomed to hell. If there's no Christ, then there's no Holy Spirit leading. If there's no Holy Spirit leading, then why aren't we all living like Sodom and Gomorrah? Jeremiah 1:5. This one here is interesting because in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly." That means before your mother and father ever conceived you in your mom's womb, it says, "I knew thee." And God was talking to Jeremiah. It says, "The Lord knew Jeremiah and knew what Jeremiah would become," because the verse goes on to say this, "And before thou camest forth out of the womb," what? "I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." See, God had already created in him. He created him just like he created you and I, just like he created what's going to happen with our life, how he's going to use us in this world, and what we're going to do with our life. It's interesting because most people will reject that and don't want to see it as such, that God's leading them, that God directs them. And I've said this in the past, good, bad, and different. Because God even uses the bad to teach those that are good that that's not how we should be acting or how we should live. Knowing God knew all that, can you not see? If God knew all that, can you not see it? God knows all of us and who we are and what we will become. He knows your rebellious heart. He knows your sins. He knew you would reject Christ and do what you do. Every single sin you ever committed, God knows them. And he doesn't keep record of them. He doesn't have to. He knew before you did it what you were going to do because he created you, and the great creator creates things just like if you build something, you know what the intentions of it are. Christ knew your intentions because God said, "Look, this is what's going to happen with this individual." And that's why when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." I know now that God created all this, and he did it all for a purpose. And just like he says, "It is finished," that those that want to be saved can be saved. They just need to call out and ask for Jesus to be their Savior. If we look over into Romans 5, 1 through 10, it says this, and I'm going to skip there, so give me a second so I can get my Bible open. It says here in Romans 5, 1 through 10, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience." That means when we're going through tough times, we should be praising God, asking him to give us the patience to get through it and to be able to deal with it. And patience experience and experience hope, verse 4, "and hope maketh not ashamed," because we shouldn't be ashamed. God's working with us. The Holy Spirit's correcting us and guiding us. "Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts," by what? "By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us," which in other words, it says that we have hope that we're going to get through it. We have hope and we trust Christ and we trust God that no matter what the trials and tribulations are, he's with us, the Holy Spirit's in us, as I said earlier, and we're going to get through it. "And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For the scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Now look at this in verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Amen. You think of those things, folks. We are blessed, even though we continue to do foolish things, because Jesus died on the cross, because we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're going to be sinners. We were born sinners. We're going to sin to the day we die. It says in the Bible, none are righteous. All have gone astray. It says every one of us has gone his own way. If that's the truth, God knew us before we were born. He also said that way back in the Old Testament, that all his sheep have gone astray. He says in the New Testament, none are righteous, no, not one. So he knows that, but yet he let his son die on the cross to be the what? The propitiation for our sins, which means he is the one that takes all our sins And he goes to the Father and he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do, which is what he said on the cross. And God forgives us. Now, does that mean we keep on continuing to sin? No. The Holy Spirit, at the moment you first confess, starts to work in your heart and save you and change you and direct you and guide you and strengthen you. And that's why it's key, important in life, to read the scriptures. Verse 6 of Romans 5 says this. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 8 it says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's important to remember, folks, because we can't do anything. It's just because what God did. Today you need to do this, folks. First of all, you need to accept Jesus Christ. That's how you get past your rebellious attitude. If you accept Jesus Christ today into your life and say, I'm going to learn more, everything I can to know about Jesus Christ so that I can change to do the right thing by him because he gave his life for me. Then you get the Holy Spirit in your life. Today, call on Jesus and ask him to save you. Ask the Lord to come into your life. Ask him to teach you his righteousness. Ask for forgiveness. Confess your sins to Jesus Christ so you can be healed from all the evil in your life. You know you have it in your life, folks. Jesus loves you and cares about you. Jesus died on the cross for you. He died for me. He died for all of us. Shouldn't we be grateful of that? Isn't that enough? Shouldn't you want to serve him? I should hope you would. If I can help you at all, folks, you please come find me over on William Preacher Bill Barnes on Facebook. That's William Preacher Bill Barnes on Facebook. You come and send me a message on Facebook. If there's anything I can help you with, leading you in the scriptures, I'll be glad to do that. That's what I do. I try to find things in the Bible so that I can preach every Sunday so I can get the message across. I hope I've done that this morning. I thank you for coming out and listening, folks. I have another song for you. And before my time runs out, I hope I got the message across to you. I hope you've seen what I was talking about. It's not easy, folks, but God gives me the strength. Thank you, and God bless you for being here. And if I can get back to you, I will. But right now, I have a song for you. It's called He Touched Me. I think you're going to like this. It plays for about a minute and 49 seconds. I may even have time to get back here to say goodbye. Thank you for being here. If I don't, God bless you. I'm glad he touched me. I hope he's touching your heart today. Folks, enjoy the day. Remember, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Thank you for being here, and God bless you. It's been a blessing for me to be here with you. It's been a blessing to be able to share. If it weren't for Christ, folks, we'd all be doomed to hell. Just remember, he's with you every day, all the time. God bless you. Thank you for coming here. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. God bless you. Have a great day.